Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sport. Glad to be back in the Carolina Sports Plus studio. Got Mario. He's getting ready to jump in here and join us tonight. I think it was last week. I forgot Mario wasn't going to be joining me. He was in Texas. I forgot. It was one of those little jealous of you moments when he said he was going to the game. So glad to have him back. Glad to have him back here in the studio here in a second. Make sure you know he's going to have a show tonight or not. Blog Talk Radio for this last month has been real hit and miss with their service and their technical issues. And unfortunately, the guys last night were unable to do their show last night due to technical difficulties with Blog Talk Radio. So I'm glad we're able to be in here. I'm glad we're able to do this tonight. Let me go ahead and get my co-host in on the mic here. Mario, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Glad to be back in the studio on this Wednesday.
Glad to have you back, too. Totally forgot all about that, and I was just shooting the breeze for the longest time, hoping you would join, and wasn't until you sent me pictures that of the game and everything that I realized, oh, yeah, you were out of town. So let listeners know what you got going on. For those that are not following Carolina Sports Plus, make sure you guys do. You revealed a little update, remodel, or whatever of the mobile store. I saw that. Got some product in there. But let them know where you're going to be at, what festivals, fairs, or whatnot you got coming up, any games or anything that you're doing, and where they can find you, follow you, and all that fun stuff.
Okay, you can follow Carolina Sports Plus on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Carolina Sports Plus will be out and about this weekend. We're going to the Food Truck Rodeo in Lumberton, North Carolina. So if you're down that way in North Carolina, please check us out. We got a lot of interesting things, you know, from socks, license plates, lanyards, and all types of good sports stuff. But we're also going to be at the Dogwood Festival in two places next weekend, in Mebane, and also in Fayetteville. So there's definitely a lot of good things going on. So like I say, if you can check us out on social media, you can shop from us on CarolinaSportsPlus.com. Like I said, we got a lot of good things going on, so definitely worth checking out.
Now, baseball game. You got to go last week. Was that your first Texas game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was my first.
How was
Texas
the experience?
Rangers. Oh, it was great. You know what I mean? It was. We had good seats in the outfield, the first row, right there by the grass. So we had a lot of good entertainment. You know, with the players out there, and the fans. And then the section was at. It was all you can eat. So that was all, you know, that's always good when you just go buy. Well, you don't have to buy, just go get whatever you want to eat. You know, they had hot dogs, nachos, you know, all that little good baseball food. So it was definitely a great environment. The Rangers won. They played the Oakland A's. So, like I say, it was great to be a part of and great to see live.
Was there any other sports activities on this trip?
Yeah, we went to the UFL game, the
How was that?
Arlington. Oh, it was definitely interesting. You know, that it was the Arlington. I forgot their last thing. It was Arlington versus DC. Mm-hmm. It was a very entertaining game. I finally got to saw the live onside rules in the UFL. You know, so that was definitely interesting. Arlington was up the whole game basically, and but their last drive, DC's last drive, they score. Then they went for the offside scenario, you know, where you have to gain, I forgot how many yards, 10 yards, you know, to keep going with the ball.
It's basically fourth and 10.
Yeah, uh-huh. Well, they converted mm-hmm. their offside and won the game on a field goal kick on the last second. So it was definitely interesting to see. That's definitely a different rule. You know, that you're definitely not used to. So to see them lose like that was like,
which one you like better? Which one you like better, UFL or NFL on the overtime rule? Or the onside rule?
No, I'd rather get the – you know, even though it's harder to do the offside kick, but I just couldn't imagine losing like that, you know, the whole game, and then you go forward on fourth and 10 on the offside and you just keep the ball and then win for a field goal. But it is entertaining,
but
you know,
to
see live.
But
mm-hmm.
wouldn't it be more devastating to lose on a 1 in a million long shot onside? Like, the onside kicks are not very successful.
No.
I think I would rather lose on what the UFL calls an onside play or kick or whatever, and you just lose because you gave up. You gave up fourth and 10. Like, your defense let you down. At least you had a legitimate shot. Like, an onside kick, the likelihood, like, that's more devastating to me because that's just a bunch of bodies colliding with each other and the way the ball bounces. So you could possibly lose the game just the way the ball bounces. It has nothing to do with your defense allowing the other team to get 10 yards and continue the drive. I don't know how I feel about which way I would rather lose an onside in a game. But I talked about the UFL last week. That was the main topic I talked about, because I watched all the highlights. The UFL does a great job. They put out highlights on YouTube for all the games that are like 15 to 20 minutes long, so you get a lot of action. Basically, you're just cutting out a lot of commercial time and a lot of meaningless stuff. All the games, for the most part, I don't remember week one, and I didn't catch all the highlights for this week yet, but most of the games, if not all the games, have been close games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is important. I think it's important because you only have four games going on. It's not like NFL season, and you got 16 games. So if you got blowouts going on, no big deal. We can flip on to another game. We have games galore. UFL doesn't have that. So you need the best product that is going to put fans in the stands and eyes on those TVs to build this brand. And no better way to help build this brand than to have games that have been this ridiculously competitively close. Like, they have been phenomenal games to watch to the end, in the aspect you don't know who's going to win. I'm not going to say the quality is the greatest, and it's interesting with the rule changes and everything else. I would like to see an NFL team. I talked about this last week too, Mario. I would like to see them play an NFL team so we know what quality we're watching. Like, it's easy to just assume that we either got eight great teams or, you know, even if two or three of them are really good, these teams, they're great. Like, these are NFL quality. Are they really? Or are they just better than the teams, the five other teams that have been assembled together? Like, I would like them in like a scrimmage game or a one-off just to know how they do compare in quality of football with an NFL team, to see what's, you know, what level that we're actually watching, or we're just assuming because, you know, there's only eight teams, that how great these teams are or aren't. So, but your thoughts on the quality of the football this season? Do you think it makes it this time? Like, we've seen this happened. We watched the XFL. I honestly believe the XFL only collapsed the first time because of COVID, because it was really gaining the momentum. USFL, I don't feel ever really got it. I think they shut down twice as well, or the XFL didn't shut down but once. I think the USFL shut down twice or once as well. I can't remember. Do you think we got a product this time that's going to make it? How was the attendance there? Was it a good turnout? I know one of the teams has a phenomenal turnout. I can't remember which one. I think it might have been San Antonio or one of them. It was ridiculous. Look how many people. I think they said 70,000 people at that game on that, the one I was watching. And what's your thoughts of the league?
Yeah, I think it can stay around. You know what I mean? The competition is definitely there. You know, watch it live. As far as that game, I think the attendance was 8,000. You know, not so good, but definitely not zero. Mm-hmm. You know, so the fans were there. The fans were rowdy. They were definitely talking junk. You know, so but the quality of football was there, and it wasn't like somewhere you wasn't going to watch it. You know what I mean? You was going to definitely see what was going on and what was happening, you know. But as far as the football, it was definitely good quality of football. I was watching it live.
I get to go to Dayton Dragons game Friday. This is our first game of the season. For you, they're comparable to the Fayetteville Woodpeckers is what this is equivalent mm-hmm. to. For those out there watching, it's the High Class A, or I think it's what they're labeled as High Class A. For the Cincinnati Reds is where De La Cruz was playing before the Reds called him up. Johnny Voto, whatever his name is, that's where he came back. I actually bought extra tickets for that game to go watch him in his rehab game. We do 11 games a year. We were close to – I originally drew one earlier in the month, but we traded off because we were out of town for that weekend. So looking forward to a nice evening, probably cool, a little bit coolish, kind of cooling off the end of this weekend. We've been in mid-80s all week, and then it's supposed to be 70s and 60s and then just 50s in the weekend. So a little bit cooler than we'd like, especially late at night. But looking forward to getting our first game in at the ball field and looking forward to seeing what the new Dayton Dragons look like. So excited about that this weekend.
Yeah, I can't wait to catch a – go ahead.
Well, go ahead. Have you been to the Woodpeckers?
No, I was actually saying
I think I've asked you before.
I want to go to one, you know what I mean, since it's, you know, right in Fayetteville, and I'm going to definitely check one out this year.
Where did they put that? Like I said, I was supposed to go right before I moved, and that game got rained out, and then it just, me and the wife started talking not too long after that, and that's all she wrote. But where at in Fayetteville is that baseball field?
It's downtown Fayetteville, mm-hmm. right by, you know, oh yeah, I know where I stay. You know where, Festival Park is at?
Yes.
Yeah, right down there. But not gotcha. Right, yeah, right down there, Festival Park.
Gotcha. Last weekend, the youngest, he had his last soccer game. For the indoor season, it's been really cool to get to watch him develop. You know, I've been part of, what, 7 children's lives in my lifetime. I met my daughter when she was 2. She just turned 26. My son's getting ready to turn 18 this fall. The next relationship, I was with her, and I was with that relationship like 13 years. Next relationship, I was like 6 years, and I helped pretty much raise her 2 kids as she ended up getting strung out on a bunch of stuff. They were from about 3 years old to 9, 10 years old. And then, of course, I've been with the wife for 5 years, and the youngest is 13. There's the girl 17, and the oldest is 20. And so I've had an opportunity to have many kids in my life, and I never thought I finally got to the point, like, I am never going to have a kid in competitive sports. Like, mm-hmm. the daughter, I got to go watch her in ROTC. I was in ROTC in high school. She was on the drill team, so I got to watch her do that. It was cool. My son, our relationship with my relationship with his mother, we kind of went our separate ways. And so where he lived and everything, he just didn't do a lot of sports and stuff. He was more of him and the guy she was with and still with, fishing, hunting, that kind of stuff. So there was never really an opportunity for that whole sports stuff in my life. Just when they got together, it was kind of, that's kind of what he was around. So that's just what his interest was, which is cool. It's something I would have never gave my son. I'm just not a fisherman or a hunter. I have no problems with it. I will go. I have gone. I prefer, if I'm going to go, I take a case, a cooler with beer, sit by the lake because I just don't have an interest. I'm not worried about catching anything. Mm-hmm. Hunting, I don't think I would ever go. I have no desire to stand in a tree and in hopes that a deer crosses my path and I possibly shoot it or not. So I just have no desire. So it worked out. The next two, they were just too young and their mother was never around for them to be able to do anything. Then the current relationship, the oldest does play soccer, but where he is autistic, he's in a special needs league, so it's not competitive soccer, it's just mm-hmm. soccer. I mean, you got people out there in wheelchairs and everything else, like the most competitive game all year, and the rest of the games, the rest of the weeks, when I say game, I'm using air quotes because it's really just one group of people that practice all week together, split into two. One day, the other day, they practice one day for an hour, and then Sunday they play against each other for an hour. That's their game. So I get to go and I watch. I'm the one who usually takes them to all the practices and all the games, which is where our schedule works out. So I've been highly involved with that, but it wasn't like a competitive sport. It was just, you know, at this point, just kind of a hobby for him. Like, he's 20. This league is, because of what it's for, they can be in as long as they want. And I think it's more of a routine at this point for him. He's been doing it for 15 years now. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's out there running up and down the field or anything. Just to see him kind of half jog, half power walk is entertaining enough. The daughter, she did dance, and she does still dance. As a matter of fact, she is part of the fine arts team. They're actually having nationals. It's something that dance, and they do performances and stuff with the church. So she did that competitively, and I know I catch a lot of feedback for this. I don't consider it a sports. Like, they are athletes, just like I view the WWE. That is not a sport. Those are athletes. Kind of the same thing. You however you say that word, choreograph.
Yeah, I
can't
help you with that one.
But this is pretty much the same thing, just the wrestling. You have a partner doing it with you, and you're pretending you're wrestling. The other one, you're just dancing. So I don't consider it a sport. I might consider you an athlete, but I'm not going to consider it a sport. Just like, I was going to say, with bullying, but I don't know if I necessarily – and I bowled in the league. So anybody out there listening – if I take this offensive, don't take it offensive, because I love bowling. I love what they call it on Saturday nights when you go late night and the black lights are on, the music. I forget what they call it. I don't know if it's the same
midnight
word, but we love going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they call it something. I don't know. But I don't view that as a sport. It's kind of more of a hobby. There's a competitive hobby. I don't know. And I don't consider them athletes. Like, you're just throwing a ball down the aisle. I don't consider myself. I would never say, you know, I was an athlete at 5 years old because I was at the bowling league. No, or in a bowling league at the bowling alley. No, I just never would. Just like darts. I don't view that as sport. I don't view them as athletes. You're just a bunch. I've played in leagues and everything else. I still don't view it as a sport or them as athletes. I just don't. I don't care who I offend at this point on that. So I had kind of given up more so because when I moved here, the youngest, she had tried when he was younger to get him in sports, and like it one game and he cried and that was it. Like that's all he lasted. Even when I first moved back, like we go walking, he's like terrified of butterflies. And it's all stems because a bee or something flew in somebody's ear, his ear, somebody else's ear stung him. So anytime anything, like he just like would freak out. So to see a butterfly fly by him and he just have this meltdown, it's just entertaining. So I always joke that you're afraid of butterflies. So I had all but given up on the whole idea of ever really having, after having seven kids in my life, anybody in a competitive sport. And like sports have been my life. Like Mario, when young kids and kids my age at this point in time were getting up in the morning, they were watching cartoons. I would get up an hour, hour and a half, even 2 hours early, even back in elementary school, just to watch SportsCenter. Not to watch cartoons, SportsCenter, over and over. I was fascinated with the stats, the highlights. It has always been a part of my life. So to sit there and think, damn, seven kids, and I couldn't have anybody in any kind of competitive sport. It just didn't happen. And then all of a sudden, he comes and wants to play soccer. Now, first of all, I don't know nothing about soccer, like, at all. So, like, the fact that I know as much about soccer now, after a season of outdoor and a season of indoor, for those that don't know and have never watched both of them, there are different rules in both of them, so I've had to learn two sets of rules. I'm kind of proud of myself that I've learned these rules. I don't like some of the rules. Some of the rules are just stupid to me. But I have a kid in competitive sport. And then to watch somebody that you didn't even know if they were going to make it, like, there was a whole discussion even signing him up, like, are you going to do this? Like, you sure about this? To see him become, like, this indoor season, he was the best player on the team. Like, to watch somebody that was afraid of a butterfly to be this goalie that's diving at balls and everything else.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It is so crazy to me. Like, this is what I imagined it would be like, maybe not in soccer, maybe it was football or baseball or something, but this is what I imagined that was going to be in my life at some point, and I had just about given up on the thoughts and hopes that I was going to have. Like, they have done everything else, like from ROTC to the daughter also did musicals to you name it, I've you know, science fairs, you know, all over the aspects and acting, and the youngest was in band, had to go watch a whole band play a couple times. But I just never thought that I would finally have somebody in competitive sports, like, to be that dad and just, like, yelling and just, like, I never thought I was going to get that. I got it. It was, like, the craziest, cool feeling ever.
Yeah, I feel you. I feel you on that. My kids are in the drama, but my daughter's coming along. She's in gymnastics, so I definitely feel where you're coming from. Especially me for being in sports all my life. You know what I mean? Just from playing baseball, football, and basketball. You know, until now, because sports was a everyday thing, just like you in my life for a very, very, very long time. You know what I mean? Since I was very little, so I totally understand. You know where you're coming from.
And when it, like I said, when it comes like that dance, gymnastics, I don't kind of fine line with gymnastics can be in the sport to me. I don't know. It's kind of fine line. But I tell you what, for those that have never been around, especially the dancers, like, because I always just had my whatever, my ever thought, like, rah, rah, you're basically a cheerleader. Those, like, that point in time when her daughter was dancing and doing that stuff, like, that was, like, she was in, like, tip-top shape. Like, I was in pretty good shape when I first moved back, and she could do stuff I couldn't do, like, and wouldn't even think about doing. And just the training that they and the work they put in, like, people don't realize it's not just show up and do some cartwheels or backflips or, you know, whatever the case. Like, there's a lot of work that's put into that stuff. A lot of practice, a lot of sitting out. I don't know how many times I sat in the park for 2, 3, 4 hours while they practice. And, you know, you watch the same routines, the same. And that is one thing that always blew my mind, like to watch. And you'll see the same thing with the gymnastics, especially if they're doing some of the freestyle where they got to have a whole routine. How quickly they memorize these routines. Like, her daughter could just see a routine once or twice, and boom, she's doing the routine. It might be a slight little mistake here and there the first few times she does it after that, but, like, she has the routine the first or second time she even walks through it, and it just blew my mind how quickly she picked that stuff up. Like, I'm just sitting there trying to keep up with everything, and she's done, you know, trying to get everybody going where they're supposed to be, and because she's done picked it up, and everybody else, including myself, is like, yo, like, what, where are they, everybody supposed to be going right now? So, maybe crazy. There's been a lot of, there's been a lot of talk this last week or two about this whole Caitlin chick from Iowa. And then this whole draft, and then now the pay, and now we're going to have this whole discussion. Now, because we got one, I guess you could possibly say two, with the chick from LSU. I think she went number two, whatever, but they were comparing their pay, which was almost the same. It was within, I think, a $20,000 total value difference or whatever. And it's crazy, because they're almost better off staying in college now with these NIL deals and what they can make off those, what they're making in the WNBA. Of course, this is going to stir the pot once again. This happens every time there is that one female athlete that stands out, or that one team that stands out and gets everybody's attention. We watched the women's soccer when we went through that whole thing, and they did what they did to even out the pay or better the pay, and the team sucks, and nobody even watches them anymore. This is a conversation that can sound bad and make you sound like this horrible male woman bashing kind of conversation, and it's nothing like that for me. Like, I understand there's a difference from a point blank, you know, Caitlin, the number one draft pick, and she's expecting to make $76,000 her first year. We all know that the number one overall draft pick in the NBA is making millions in their first year. But I don't know what exactly all these female leagues want everybody to do about this. Like, first of all, I understand it's a significant pay difference, but to make $76,000 just to play basketball every year, plus like the team per diem or whatever, from what I've seen, it's not a bad life. Like, you're not getting too many jobs starting out from college, period, making $76,000 plus a per diem and everything else, all the other kicks and perks and possible commercials and endorsements and everything else is going to go with this, especially her name and how she's carried herself. There's no doubt that there's going to be endorsements and deals for Caitlin coming out of this. You're not going to get that opportunity coming out of college almost anywhere. It don't matter if you're male or female anyway. It's not a bad gig. Like, just pretty much say you're going to probably at least get $100,000 a year just to play basketball, if not this long of a season, not like an NBA long season. And you pretty much, other than keeping yourself in shape, you're pretty much off almost half the year because you leave your season so short. And then you got your preseason and all that other stuff going after that. But I'm not sure what they're expecting this significant change in pay in a sport. I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, Mario, but I don't think I see an increase in attendance or viewership in any of them. I'm not saying anything about the quality. I don't care to watch any of them. I will care. When the women's team was good, I watched the women's team. That was the only soccer team I even watched. Now that they're horrible, just like the men's, I don't watch soccer at all. We're talking about trying to go watch a Columbus game. That's our professional team. Because the son wants to go see it, and the fact he's in soccer, we're talking about doing that. But I just, but to be transparent, I hardly watch any sports right now, period. and it's got to do with the fact with my work schedule. And then my brother has a lawn care business, so we're every day after I get off work, I go cut grass pretty much till it's dark. Between jobs today, we ended up doing 2 yards real quick before we came on the show. And then my other 2 days off, I tried to get all the house stuff done, yard stuff done here, and wife stuff done, and spend time with the wife in those 2 days. I don't generally right now get too much time sitting in front of sports. But when I do, I'm not going to lie, it's not like the WNBA is on or the LPGA on. Not that I watch the regular PGA, but anyway, you know, every once in a while, if you're going to get me to watch a sport, every once in a while I will watch when it's on the Women's College Softball World Series. It is very interesting to me. But that's usually about it. You can't expect to make a ridiculous amount of money if you don't have a ridiculous amount of backing and sponsors and viewership. What kills me about this, I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that, you know, in hindsight, the salaries between the two, it looks bad. Like I said, once again, hell, if I made $100,000, I've been with the company for 10 years that I'm with now, and I don't make $100,000 a year. You know, and I got to work every day. I don't just play a season for a few months and have a half a year off and then, you know, kind of get my season started over and the other half or, you know, 3 months or whatever. I got to be there every day. But also, all these females, and this is why this sounds like a bad conversation. I'm not trying to make it sound like this thing, but I just also don't understand, like, when you're graduating high school and going through college, like, you're able to know what all these athletes make. Like, you know where this is going. Like, most people, when they start making their career paths, they start figuring and trying to Google how much they're going to make. Well, you know, if I go down this career path and I become the president of this company, I can make this much money. This is what I want to do. Or if I go do this career, I know that, you know, I can go get hired at this company. They're hiring 80,000 a year plus sign-on bonus with a college. You know what you're getting into. They know what they're getting into, too. And so to get there and accomplish this goal of graduating from college to get drafted into the WNBA or go on to play women's soccer or whatever, and then all of a sudden be pissed about how much money you make is crazy to me, because you knew this whole time what you roughly were going to make. Like, it wasn't like it was rug pulled. Oh, female athletes are making so many $1 million a year. Now that I'm finally made it and I'm there, we're only making $75,000 a year. It's not like it changed. So I'm not understanding why everybody is like this awe, shocked, pissed mode, because you knew the whole time. And I'm sorry that the money's not there, but unless you can find a way to bring in viewers and see people in the seats to bring in money, like, from what I understand, the women actually get a better cut of the revenue than the men do. Now, of course, it doesn't look all that way when the men are making these millions of dollars, but the NBA brings in millions of dollars, and they're, well, billions mm-hmm. of dollars, and they do different things to try to improve the league and bring viewership. They did the play-in league. They do different things. They change up the All-Star. You know, they do different things constantly to try to keep the brand going and building and everything else. I don't know what the WNBA does and doesn't do. I know that I never know when the league is actually playing unless I'm somewhere like at Planet Fitness where they got 6,000 TVs and one of them happens to be on ESPN 2, 3, 5, 10, however far down the ESPNs they are on, and they have the game on. Outside of that, I usually don't even know when there's – well, I never know when their season is, and I usually don't know when the games are. But I just have this feeling we're going to have this whole conversation again because the fact that everybody's making a point to point out how much money she is making being the number one pick and a rookie contract, I just feel that this is stirring up to be a whole nother try to be a movement and conversation. I just don't see or know what they want these leagues to do, because if the money's just not there, the money's just not there. Like, regardless if your opinions is fair or not fair, impartial, whatever, some people feel they need to be paid more. Some people are like, look, you know, you make, I see many people on the post that I read, $76,000 in the per diem and $76,000 this, like, I could live a pretty good life at $76,000. Like I said, that's better than most people right out of college. It is. Like I said, I worked for the same company for 10 years as a store manager with bonuses and trips and everything else. And at the end of the year, it's not – I don't make $76,000 in a year. A couple years ago with DoorDash, I clipped that a time or two. But even with this company, I don't – but that's here nor there. So, I mean, it's not this horrible life. Like, you're going to have a second job and all this other stuff. Like – that's type of money that's all she's got to do. As long as she can budget herself and don't get ridiculous while she's traveling and buy a bunch of meaningless stuff, just be a normal person with a above average salary, then you're good. I don't know. What do you say, Mario?
It's definitely something that's been talked about, you know, ever since, you know, the reports of how much she gets paid versus versus the NBA's number one pick. But this is the year for the WNBA to do some real marketing. You know what I mean? They got to fill up the stands. You know, from what I heard and read, that Clark's jersey sold a lot, which is good. You know, that's a good start. But it takes people going to the game, just like the NBA games. NBA stadiums are packed, but you go to a WNBA game, you're getting 4,000, 3,000. You know what I mean? What do you mm-hmm. expect? How could you get how can you get paid? Where's the money coming from? They already partnered with the NBA to help them out. You know what I mean? A couple years ago, they would have been in bankrupt. You know what I mean? So the NBA is trying to do their part, but you know, you just got to market them. You just got to market them. I think you got to market them a little bit better, you know, than the previous years. But this is the year that they should see something. That they, you know, with the players, the women players that they got coming in the league, they really are good players. You know, there's no doubt about that.
They're good. So they got good personalities. One of them is outspoken. Yeah.
So it's good for the WNBA, but they have to market, and they got to play these games, and they got to pack the stands, and people got to buy merch. So
even with these personalities and these players coming out, do you think we're going to see a blip in the ratings, the blip in the viewership? Like,
I think with Clark, you know from her games, you know, changing arenas to bigger arenas, you know, for some live games, you know, we're about to see. You know, but like I said, it comes down to the fans. You know, are they going to really go to these games like they did in Iowa and all these other places where, you know, Iowa tickets just to go see her play was running $500, $600. Now you're talking about some money. You know, Iowa got paid. You know, their school got paid. Their university, mm-hmm. that area got paid. So hopefully Clark can come down there and do the same thing for the WNBA. But this is the year that it should get done. So I guess we're about to see in a couple of days, because I think the first game is, what, about two or three weeks away. So it's definitely something that needs to be talked about. But it's hard to pay somebody if nobody's coming and nobody's buying merchandise.
Yeah.
So.
Speaking of basketball, Golden State's found themselves on the outside of the playoffs. Steph said he couldn't see himself playing without Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. I know Steve Kerr, contract extension, wanting to keep the band together. I know Golden State's wanting to get back under the state tax or the NBA tax, whatever it is, where they're paying too much.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the band stays together, or do you think we start seeing the end of Golden State's big three?
You know, it does. You know, as far as a player, you know, you can definitely feel where Curry's coming from. You know what I mean? Just because how long they've been together, you know, which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
You know
it's
what I mean?
Crazy to think about. It's been that long. Like, you don't really realize.
Yeah.
Like, good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone
too,
by so quick.
Yeah, but Thompson, I watched the game. You know what I mean? I stayed up last night. But how Thompson played, you know, it sounds real good. You know what I mean? You know, Thompson, he's a great guy. You know, very well-mannered, very well-spoken, you know. But if you're not producing, as far as a coach and upper management, you know what I mean? If you're not producing, it's just hard to keep something alive that is not working. You know what I mean? You score 0 points mm-hmm. in the last game.
Yeah.
And you know people was watching. You know your contract is talked about. You know this is kind of like the end. But produce 0 points, it's just hard. It's just hard to sit there and say, I want to keep. Okay, of course Curry wants him to play. But I know Curry wants him to play at a good level too. You know what I mean? At an NBA level
mm-hmm.
and hit open shots. So is it the end? It's just hard to say yes just because we've been watching him for so long and he did all these great things.
Like, I don't even remember a time that they weren't together. Like, I remember the old Golden State, like Latrell Sprewell. I'm not saying I don't remember the Golden State Warriors ever without him. I don't remember those three before they were together. Like, that's the only time I remember them. So, to me, it would be weird to not see them three together, to see, like, that's been a long run. Like, that if I'm not mistaken, Cleveland won that back in 2016, and that was, I think, what, Golden State's second run, and they might have been their second or third run.
Yeah.
Like, they'd already been together. So you're talking, this has probably been about a 10-year run together, and it's crazy. Like, it doesn't feel like it's been that long. I don't know. It'd be weird. I don't know. It would be tough, especially since they want to play together and the coach. Like, this is the opportunity for Golden State as an organization. Like, now you find out how important it is to play together. Like, we need to get underneath this requirement, because this tax is killing us. Y'all want to play together. Y'all figure out who and what makes what cuts, and we will make it happen. All three y'all stay in this team. If not, we can't afford to not make the playoffs or not win a championship and continue to pay you guys these contracts and the taxes we got to pay on top of that for being over the budget. Like, that's where I'm at if I'm Golden State. Like, this is our opportunity to get our books in line. Are you on board or not? It is, and from a business or a side of it. yes, I think from the non-business side of it, they would love it. Like, I think as long as they stay competitive, and just because they didn't make the playoffs doesn't mean they weren't competitive. They just weren't super competitive. And, yes, they went 16-0 against, like, six horrible teams. But they're still competitive at any given minute, and they showed that, what, a week or two ago or whatever that was, where they lit up the sky in 15-pointers, that they can, at will can. I think that as long as they can be competitive, Golden State would love more than anything on the non-business side of it to let this go forever. Like, y'all just ride us into the sunset. We will eventually, you know, limit your, you know, minutes. Y'all want to keep playing together. You'll become the veteran players that, you know, and come into a rotation as we keep this team young. But then you got that mentorship. I'd be even fine with that. Like, ride it until, but it's going to come at a cost. Like, this is going to be financially beneficial to both of us. You got to be competitive, and we'll keep this, you know, we'll keep this together. But I don't know.
It's just hard to sit there and say.
I would be shocked if somebody's willing to pull the trigger. Like, I know financially it makes sense, and they need to figure it out. But who that's like, I know it's not to the same severity, so don't take this any wrong way, but it's like you got three kids, and, well, I was going to say one of them has to die. Well, let's go, you got three kids, and only one of them doesn't get to win the jackpot. Like, two of them, you get a pick, and they're not allowed to give it to the third person. The third one, they're butt out, and you got to choose what kid is butt out and never gets any help or and doesn't get to win, you know, $10 million each or whatever. Like, that would be that kind of decision as you're the front office. Like, who do we just say, okay, this is it, we're rebuilding, we're going to make this decision, we're going to start removing the big three. Like, I just couldn't imagine being that person that had to make that decision. Like, for what they have done and brought life to basketball as we know it. Like, when was the last time Golden State was really relevant? Like, we can travel back to the days of Latrell Sprewell, Golden State. Not that I feel that they were super relevant. They were talked about because of Latrell Sprewell, and they were doing some good things there. I think also didn't no, he went to the Kings. I was trying to think where Chris Webber went to. But I don't know. I just couldn't imagine somebody actually having the finger to push, like everybody just eventually cave in. I would be more, honestly, I would be less shocked if I saw Golden State's front office cave in, pay a competitive contract, go ahead and suck it and pay the taxes to keep these people together. I feel that is more likely than someone saying, you know what, we're going to go ahead and break this up now after 10 years or whatever.
Yeah, but it's hard to sit there and say you want max money to come off a bench. You already torn your Achilles. You already missing all your shots in your last game. You get what I'm saying?
I don't think he can get max contract.
No.
I think what Klay Thompson's camp will do is they'll shop him and give Golden State the offers, and Golden State can match whatever one they're allowed to match, whoever they want to match, or match any contracts. So I see that how it's going to be played. I think they'll go out and shop him, or let him shop around, find out what his value is to everybody else with everything, the zero game injuries, everything else. And I think it goes for any of the big three. Any of the big three, when their contracts are up at this point, I think that they'll let them, if they want to, go shop if they're not wanting what Golden State wants to offer, and go from that point. Either they match or they don't match. Is it worth it to us or not? I don't think Klay Thompson will be offered max money. I think this will be beneficial, probably. I think it'll still end up being beneficial to Klay Thompson, because I think he will get offers above what Golden State's really trying to pay to help get their numbers down. But I don't think that outside of that, if it wouldn't be for trying to get their contracts down, I think it would be beneficial for Golden State because I think it would be lesser than a max contract. I don't think, not that I think it'll be astronomically lower, but I don't think it will even really be super close to the max contract. I think it'll be, you know, a good close number, but nothing super close or like, oh, wow, you know, that was for Golden State. I just think they'll be like, yeah, that was more than we wanted to offer, but at least we're not paying what max contract could have been. At least we're only paying this if they do decide to max them. But yeah, I think that's how the conversation will go.
Yeah, it sounds, you know, it sounds good, but there's going to be some definitely discussions, you know what I mean? They've been, I was just looking it up, they've been together for 10 years, you know what I mean? Next year will be their 11th year, they all say, so it's just decisions gotta be made.
Do you think the Lakers get past Denver in round one?
No. But I mean, I'm not. Like I said, I'm not a LeBron James fan, but anything's possible. You know what I mean? How Kevin Durant said, but yeah. The Denver Nuggets, they do have a good overall team. And with the Lakers losing, you know, this year to Denver, I think they're like 0-3. Against Denver, it's just a tall task that
They have not won in Denver in a very long time. I think they said 2022 is the last time the Lakers have won in Denver. I hope they don't beat Denver. Not that I want Denver to win it, but I'm just, in general, one, to be clarified before you, you hate the Lakers, blah, blah, blah. I hate 29, I think there's 30 teams, 29 other teams, just like I hate 31 other teams in the NFL. I have one team, one team only. I hate all the rest of the team. And for those that, LeBron in Cleveland, LeBron's no longer in Cleveland. Just like I will cheer for anybody that's on the current Cleveland squad. Once you leave, you're not a Cleveland Cavalier no more. Therefore, I have no reason to cheer for you anymore. I have said this repeatedly and over the last year or two. There is one exception possibly to the rule, and I don't even know if it is even still an exception to the rule. I have a lot of respect, and I love some Nick Chubb. I've said on the show that that might be the first player that I actually cheer for on another NFL team once and if he leaves Cleveland or Cleveland doesn't re-sign him. I hope they work it out. I hope they find a mutual agreement on the contract and we keep him for his entire career. But back to the whole Cleveland stuff and the Lakers. I could care less if the Lakers ever win a championship again. I am tired. To me, Lakers kind of fall in the same boat as the Cowboy fans, like they're just above and beyond and ridiculous. There's a fan, and then there's a Dallas Cowboys fan. It's just like there's a fan in the NBA, and then there's a Lakers fan. Mm-hmm. Like you just, they're just ridiculous sometimes. With that being said, I don't think. Physically, and we saw LeBron last night, the end of the game, wearing out. I don't think physically they're going to be able to do it. Like, they have been kind of on survival mode for the last month. They have had to put in a lot of hard minutes, times, and everything else to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
They get an opportunity to do a lot of resting. They get an opportunity to do a lot of things that I feel that they would need to do to beat the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs. I think if they're going to beat Denver, I do agree with I saw this, I think, a week or two ago on first call or first thing first or whatever, first round, because you get a little bit more break in between the games. I think it's one-on-one-off or whatever versus possibly having back-to-backs or anything or whatever it is. And if you would have played your cards right and got yourself locked in earlier, you could also have that end of the season to rest instead of coming down to the end of the season.
Yeah.
I just physically don't, and yes, LeBron has proved many people wrong, and I would not be shocked if LeBron proves what I'm saying wrong and they make it past the Denver Nuggets. If they make it past the Denver Nuggets, I definitely won't think they'll win it all, because then I think they will be totally exhausted. And the season and the late having to play hard and the late in the season and that first round would take its toll. But I don't see it happening. I just think that Denver's the better team. It's probably much more rested. They're younger. And for some reason, the Lakers just can't beat the Denver Nuggets, especially in Denver. I don't see the Lakers making it out of this round.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree.
Oh, Lord. Really didn't have too much more on the books. I figured we would be around about an hour until things start picking back up more with college football, NFL, baseball season being more relevant. That's really the only thing about baseball is the 162 games. There's just not a lot going on. Like, unless you have a stick-out moment or whatever. I know the Reds and especially De La Cruz have been doing some phenomenal things. Not that I've kept up with what the exact headlines are about. I know that they've been making headlines, and De La Cruz has kind of picked up where he left off last year. He's at in the park home run, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Of course, they've been clocking. Like every time he steals bases or runs the bases, and talk about his speed. Like the Reds look like they're having fun right now. I'm not gonna lie. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm gonna pull it up real quick. What their record is or how they're actually doing, but because they're on my timeline, especially because of the Dane Dragon stuff and everything else, it looks like the Reds are having a lot of fun. And as much as I don't like Cincinnati, it is kind of fun to see the timelines coming through and at least seeing a team, even if it's the Reds, having fun. It looks like they're enjoying themselves right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree. They are. You know, but one interesting thing, right? I got hooked on a Fire Stick. Right.
Mm-hmm.
A close friend of mine, of course, when I went up there to Texas, you know, just over there watching. He watching every game, every football game, basketball game. So I made him program me a Fire Stick and show me how to do it. And it was interesting. Watching some baseball games last night. You know, not be able to watch them on regular TV, but physically, you know, watching a Yankees game or watching the Dodgers versus the Washington. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah,
it's fun. It's fun. I'm glad
the Reds
I got one.
Yeah, I used to have a Fire Stick. We still technically have it. I just don't have it jailbroke. We just have apps on or whatever. Just use it to get into the apps. I used to have a couple back in the day that I watched everything on. The Reds are 9-9. So right now they're having a 50-50 season. But with that being said, on top of it looks like they're having fun, they're scoring. They have one of the better. As a matter of fact, there's only two teams in the National League, three teams, that have a better score differential. They're plus 14. So just because they're 9-9, they're still putting up some numbers. They are scoring, and that's fun to watch, and that's fun to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Now to figure out the defense and how to shut down the other teams, that's one thing. But, gee, they have a plus 14. You got Atlanta, who's killing everybody. They got a plus 28 differential. You got another 24 as Milwaukee and a 19 of Pittsburgh. But everybody else is either single digit for the most part or a negative in the National League. So as a positive sign and a sign of having fun, a sign you're putting runs up. Even though you are a 500 team, you are still outscoring your opponents by a good amount. So you can kind of take those hits on the chin a little bit better, knowing you're at least producing, and you just got to figure out the defense or figure out the pitching. It's to me, it's easier to figure out the pitching and change, make some pitching changing versus you having nine guys that ain't putting up nothing and you ain't scoring no runs. Like, I'd rather had to replace one pitcher or two pitchers or change, you know, one position versus trying to figure out everybody and nobody hitting. Obviously, I feel the Reds are in a good position once they figure this last couple pieces out, but. It definitely looks like it's been fun for them. But as we start rolling into more of the UFL and college football, baseball, or I'm sorry, or the baseball season carrying on NFL, I think we'll get into later, you know, shows going longer and longer. But I figure we're still kind of the season, NBA just wrapped up, so I'm sure next week we'll have more of the playoffs to talk about. Baseball is just getting started. There's nothing college really going on. You got the local games, your team games or whatever. We have Scarlet versus Red or whatever, Scarlet versus Gray. We play each other. I think every college football team puts their home game on where they play themselves and get the fans out there and get excited for the season. So once we get rolling and actually get something going on, I'm sure we'll have a lot more to talk about. But let them know once again where they find you this weekend and where they can find you in general, website, Facebook, whatever you want to throw out there. We'll get things wrapped up for this evening.
Okay. You can check Carolina Sports Plus out on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube. We got a lot of good things going on. We'll be in Lumberton this weekend at the Food Truck Rodeo at Bricks Mall in Lumberton. Friday afternoon till Friday night, and Saturday afternoon till Saturday night. So there's gonna be some things going around. It's gonna be like a fair type of atmosphere, a lot of food, a lot of fun. So if you're in that area, you know, come out and check us out. Like I said, follow us on social media, and we'll see you next week.
Don't forget Tuesday nights, you guys can check out Race Chat Live right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. They kick off about 8:30, so make sure you guys check them out. And also tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Safety to Success. Jared Hudson will be doing, I think it's the second episode, because I think week one we had technical difficulties then as well. So this might be his second or third episode of the season. Looking forward to having him on the network and back in full swing here at the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. We'll be back in here next week because we'll be talking more of the NBA playoffs and all the other topics out there. Don't forget you guys can follow us or like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Follow us on X at the 110 Nation. Our YouTube channel, subscribe, the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Check out our website, www.the110nationsportsradionetwork.com. It's got our shows, our blogs, videos. It's also got all the links or the tabs that have links connected to them to take you to any platform, if it be iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, Podchasers, you name it, YouTube, that we're on. It'll take you to our shows on those platforms. Just follow us there. That way you guys can catch and get notifications of all the shows. Looking forward to be back in the studio with Mario next week. Until then, you guys have a great one.